ॐ अज्ञान तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयमृतकदा मह्यं ददति स्वपदन्तिकम् मुक्तं करोति वाचलम् भङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं तेन तारिणम् All things must pass. Right? Or, you know, once when I was about 16, I think, we were driving from Port Augusta to Adelaide for holidays or spend some time in the city. And it was after the Port Pirie bypass. We were travelling towards the Gladstone turnoff, and this fellow on a Yamaha 500 just went zooming past us, but in between us and a big truck that was coming this way. And he was following a Monaro that had just passed us and it got in between the truck and our car, and my father was... And my father doesn't swear very often, but in that case, that was quite a stupid thing to do. So he said, silly something. Anyway, about 10 minutes down the road, we saw some kerfuffle in the horizon. And had to pull up. There were people standing around him. Anyway, what had happened was the fellow on the bike had come off the bike on a corner and he hit one of those Armco barriers, right? And it ripped his head off. And I looked on the side of the road and I could just see his brain sitting on the side of the road. So that made me rather philosophical about life. And I decided I'm not going to ride a motorbike. And then... In my head, I could remember a song of a popular group at the time, and the refrain of the song was "Sometime world passes me by again." So there's personal, there's pratyaksha, direct evidence, and traditional wisdom, right? Traditional wisdom. And I guess also anumanam, you know, it's logical. It's logical. By logic, if we look at the material world and analyze it, we see everything is temporary. Of course, what's been recommended here is that we get our knowledge and understanding of things from an authoritative source. In fact, actually, each one of these sources is accepted in the Vedic tradition as evidence. Right? The word is here pramana, evidence. But the highest evidence is that information or that presentation, that knowledge which is coming directly from Krishna, from the source of everything. That's our system. Or we receive knowledge from Krishna through the parampara, through the traditional method of handing down knowledge from disciple, disciple, one is a disciple of one's spiritual master, one learns the information, one takes instructions from the guru, and then having applied that knowledge, put it into practice and realized it for ourselves. Because here Krishna is talking about jnana and vijnana. Right? Jnana and vijnana. Knowledge or information, and then realization and proper understanding of that knowledge so that one can apply it. And the ultimate, or what is being emphasized in this section, is one has to become detached from the material world. This is a symptom of, you know, Vedic culture. We've discussed this a number of times in the last few months. Vedic culture measures advancement by detachment, by withdrawing oneself from the material and absorbing oneself in a spiritual it has to be spiritual understanding of things as they are. Because we analyze the material world, we see, as we were discussing yesterday, nasato vidyate bhavo. That which is temporary has no duration. It cannot last, even if it goes on for what appears to be an interminably long period of time, at least from our perspective. There is nothing in the material creation that can exist forever. Well, apart from the soul. Right? But a soul in the material realm, in this place of, you know, ebb and flow, flux, change, is in an unnatural position, in the wrong place. We're looking for sat chit ananda in a place which is asat achit and nirananda. There is no permanence to existence. There is no proper understanding of things from the material perspective. And what pleasure there is, it's just a facsimile of the original. So the Vedic goal is to withdraw from material, become absorbed in spiritual, and that's observable. You know, Arjuna asks Krishna, you know, what are the qualities of a man of transcendence? How does he talk? How does he walk? How does he sit? So even though that science is not well known, but still it is possible. And of course, you know, we can see it, Prabhupada mentions that we can measure our advancement by how detached we are from material sense gratification. You know, we're in a body and the body is being attracted. We've got senses. You know, Krishna, Arjuna also asked Krishna, you know, why are we impelled to act as if by force, performing things that we know are not good for us? And Krishna mentions it's because of lust, which comes about as a result of association with the mode of passion, and which deteriorates into wrath or anger. You know, we don't get what we want, so we get angry or frustrated. And Krishna explains how lust has captured, you know, is the enemy basically, and it has taken up residence in the senses, in the mind, and in the intelligence. So we find ourselves, as a result of associating with the modes of material nature, specifically this mode of passion, and the resultant desires, we find ourselves then attracted to the objects of the senses, the mind especially. So we see something, and then we become absorbed in it. And then as a result of that association, sangat sanjayate karma comes desire. So we start thinking about something, We absorb ourselves in experiencing it, even though it's internally, and then we must have it. Thinking, feeling and willing, this is a function of the mind. And the senses. We're also attracted to the objects of the senses. So how much we're detached from that progression. You know, it's a natural progression. Is a measurement of how much advance we're making. And that process of detaching ourselves is supported by proper understanding of things as they are. This is why we approach the spiritual master for knowledge. And the first information that the spiritual master gives us, sambandha jnana. You know, what is the nature of our relationship with the material world? What is the nature of our relationship with Krishna? In other words, who are we? What am I doing here? Why am I suffering? What is my real purpose? This is a sambandha jnana. And this, you know, this knowledge of material existence is based very much on this principle. Everything in the material world is temporary. That's why it's described as false. You know, the Mayavadis or the impersonalists Prabhupada would criticize because they say the material world is false. But Prabhupada said, no, the material world, the material energy is real. It exists. We're all experiencing it. But what it presents is temporary. It's very powerful. Daivi hi yesha gunamayi mama maya dharatyaya. Very difficult to overcome. You know, there are three basic energies that are described by those who have seen the truth. There's the spiritual energy, there's the material energy, and then there's the marginal energy. That's us, the tatastha shakti. On the border or on the beach. Prabhupada will give the example of being on the beach. And a material existence being like in the ocean. You can be out of the beach and getting dry. The further out of the beach you are, the drier you are, the better off you are. Because material energy is very powerful, just like the ocean is very powerful, and it can sometimes come up the beach further and pull us back in. So the living entity, that's us, we have to be under the influence of either one or the other of these energies. We have to be. The nature of the tatastha shakti is that it will always be under the influence of one or the other energy. And which is one of the reasons why we have to understand the nature of material energy, and even though it's very appealing and very attractive, still it's limited and temporary. And one is recommended then to, you know, what is it? Prabhupada quotes this: "Tamasi ma jyotirgama." Come out of the darkness of material existence and come into the light of spiritual understanding. And so, therefore, this, you know, this detachment from material is so important. And not easy either. We see from the variety of yoga practices how difficult it is for an individual to extricate themselves from the influence of the material energy. Even we see amongst the devotees, there's a struggle. Anatta nivritti syat is basically coming to terms, you know, this stage of devotional service where in bhajana kriya one performs the activities of devotional service. We rise early in the morning, we chant our rounds, we worship the deities, we render our service, we hear the Bhagavatam, we study the Bhagavad Gita, we perform devotional service, but still find anattas, you know, attachment to these temporal things, temporal pleasures. We still find ourselves, even though we're attracted to Krishna, but at the same time we find ourselves distracted again by the influence of the material energy. Anybody had that experience? So this is anatta nivritti. It's a difficult stage for a aspiring transcendentalist. And it's in that stage that one has to battle then with this tendency to go back into material existence. Because the passion is there. And that's lifetimes. Right? Lifetimes after lifetime we've been in the material world trying to enjoy. And so that's what condition means. Condition means habituated to going back to the old, to the bad habits. And that's why one has to take shelter of Krishna's instructions. Here it's recommended. We take shelter directly of that Shruti, which doesn't confuse. Right? Because there's the Shruti, the Vedas, which also encourage material pursuits. You know, this is one of the reasons why Vyasadeva was chastised by his guru. You know, you've written all of the Vedas, but what's the end result? People are confused because there are so many different instructions. There's so many different types of people. Gradual process of elevation. But the end result is that one is confused. Unless one happens to have a spiritual teacher. And this is the reason why one needs a spiritual master. To make sense of all of the conflicting instructions that can be found in the Vedic literature. Or even, you know, the conclusions that one comes to as a result of direct experience. And even if we see, you can be sure that for the moment that I saw that fellow's brain sitting on the side of the road, I was quite detached at that point in time. But, you know, the next day I woke up and probably forgotten all about it. And was back into, you know, rock and roll and whatever else was going on in my life at 16. And even traditional wisdom tells us that, all things must pass. But then, you know, if you look at some of the songs of George Harrison that he wrote later on in life, then he was back to, you know, in other words, he was wavering because he was a devotee, but at the same time he was also under the influence of the material energy, just like any devotee. Therefore, the instruction is to take shelter of the Shruti, which is giving direct knowledge of an experience and participation in activities that will elevate, not which will pull back or pull down. And why we need to take shelter of a spiritual master or spiritual teacher, Diksha or Siksha Guru, Prabhupada says, the same, Krishna manifests himself in the form of the spiritual master to teach how to remain fixed in devotional service, not wavering. You know, not one minute being under the influence of the material energy, the other minute being under the influence of the spiritual energy. This is why one has to have a spiritual guide. Why one has to take instructions. Why we study the Bhagavad Gita effectively. Because Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita gives us this sambandha clearly, without any Actually, when I think about it, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are a number of messages in the Bhagavad Gita, and again, that's why we need a spiritual master. Even to understand clearly the information which is being given in the Bhagavad Gita, we need a guru. And the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us the very basics. But if you deeply absorb yourself in the Bhagavad Gita, you discover that even the basics are very complicated and very subtle. Right? Intricate. Because there's karma, there's jnana, there's yoga. But then there's bhakti yoga, which is the conclusion that Krishna wants us to come to. Sava dhammam pavityajya mamikam saranam braja. So we need we need the instructions, but we also need the guide to help us differentiate, and to also to help us apply these principles so that we can make practical advancement. Each one of us is each one of us is different. Each one of us has a particular type of conditioning, and so therefore we need to be engaged appropriately in order to extricate ourselves from this, you know, from the influence of the material energy. So therefore each one of us gets a slightly different engagement, a slightly different form of encouragement. Of course, the basic instructions of the Bhagavad Gita are relevant for everyone. And our process is almost a one-size-fits-all process, the core process of Krishna consciousness. Is the same for everybody. Right? What's that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's the same for everybody. Right? Chant 16 rounds. Follow the principles. That's a one-size-fits-all engagement. Right? But to keep us busy and engaged in the times outside when we're chanting Hare Krishna, then because of the mental and different propensities that we have, we all get a separate. And why we have to take initiation. You know, the initiation is the formal acceptance into this process. It's important. Prabhupada gives the example. It's like having a PowerPoint in the room. You know, you have access to the electricity, but if you don't plug into it and turn on a switch, you're not connected. That's our system, based on, and that's a standard Vedic system, taking shelter of the guru, receiving instructions from the guru, then serving the guru. And Krishna appears in the form of the Diksha and Siksha Guru to instruct, to teach, and to help us understand, you know, the conclusions of the Shruti especially, but also of all of the other forms of knowledge. Direct experience, traditional wisdom, logical induction. These are all valid ways of understanding the truth. But it's clarified by the spiritual master. And that knowledge or truth is best presented through the Shruti. In our case, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada also gave us Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is like our Shruti. This is how we understand the process of devotional service, especially the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Nectar of Devotion. The Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada said, is the law book for ISKCON. Because basically it tells us, here's how you remain totally under the shelter of the spiritual energy. If we follow the principles that are enunciated in the Nectar of Devotion, especially the 64 items of devotional service, and we're discussing also with Narayani at the moment, the Panchanga Bhakti. If we follow those, you know, here's what you should do, here's what you shouldn't do. If we follow those guidelines, then we're guaranteed to make spiritual advancement. We'll be able to give up the anattas, those unwanted things, and get release from this attraction to the material energy, get release from the influence of the motive passion, basically, that's what it is. Motive passion pulls us into performing material activities. Practically speaking, we take the same activities and we engage them in Krishna's service. Then because it's for the pleasure of Krishna, that same activity becomes purified and purifying. So that's our system, if you like. It's part of the Vedic culture, but applied in, you know, in the modern setting. Because as we know, you know, Vedic culture, where is it? In this day and age, where's Vedic culture? We can't even agree what Vedic culture is sometimes. When we read the Bhagavatam and we see Vedic culture, we're not sure. What is actually Vedic culture? What to speak of what we've got, what we're experiencing now. Far from, you know, the current culture is basically that which is produced as a result of absorption in the mode of passion. And then the corollaries, right? Ignorance, because passion degrades into ignorance. So we take the passion, the action, but we turn it towards Krishna. That's Rupa Goswami's his encouragement. We should never forget Krishna, and we should always remember him. So how do we do that? We do that by engaging all of our activities in relationship with Krishna. And taking the same activities that we'd ordinarily perform. Just like, you know, Chaitan goes to work. And he has work colleagues. Now they're all doing the same thing. But what's the difference between his work and the work of his colleague? He's doing his work for the pleasure of Krishna. Just like Arjuna's fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He's fighting ultimately because he knows that Krishna wants him to do it. And so therefore he's fighting for Krishna's pleasure, working for Krishna. Whereas on the other side, they're fighting, they're doing exactly the same thing, but they're doing it for their personal consideration. So the activity is the same, but the mentality of the devotee is different, completely different. So the activities of the devotee are liberating, and the activities of the non-devotee are debilitating. So one has to, as a result of following this Vedic process, studying the scripture, understanding it in the association of the devotees, hearing from the spiritual teachers, the gurus. Practically speaking, that can mean every devotee, because we can learn from everyone. It was interesting, I mentioned this the other day, yesterday I think, but I'll mention it again. Prabhupada was giving a class, and then he said, "Let us discuss this point threadbare." Right? This is Prabhupada wanted the devotees to understand the philosophy from all different angles. So he was challenging the devotees. What is this point? How do we analyze it? What if somebody says this? What if somebody says that? So in that way, even together amongst a group of devotees, we can analyze and study the Shastra and understand the essential principles that we then apply. Of course, this is one of the essential principles. The material is illusion. The dualities created by the material energy are illusory. One day good, next day bad. What we thought was bad turns out to be good the day after. right? Very often. You know, they say, there's always this, every cloud has a, speaking of, what is it, traditional wisdom? Every cloud has a silver lining. Huh? It's not unusual to discover that. We think something's bad, but then the next day we discover, oh, that was good. So we want to extract ourselves from the material. And the degree to which we're able to do that is the measure, one measure of our advancement. Of course, the other side of that is we have to then have something alternative. We need to be then conversely attracted to Krishna, and attracted and attached to Krishna. You know, it has to be an absorption, not just a mental adjustment. It has to be deep absorption. And we're able to do that by following these, you know, the instructions that we receive. That's why, you know, Prabhupada says the instructions of the guru are the life and soul of the disciple, because by following the instructions of, basically by following the instructions of Prabhupada, we end up where we are now, in Krishna consciousness. And the material energy, the material world, it diminishes as a result. We feel the relief. Or we should be feeling the relief. The release. Right? That means Jivera Svarupahoi Nityara Krishna Das. We have to understand that I'm Krishna's servant. That's what did Lord Chaitanya say? I am not a Brahmana. Right? I am not a sannyasi. I am not a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. I am not a IT technician, bank manager, you know, whatever it is, cook. Yeah. Coles checkout chick. Or whatever. I'm a servant of Krishna. That requires, you know, that requires deep absorption in devotional practice. You know, why we rise early in the morning, why we chant Hare Krishna, why we worship the spiritual master. You know, it's recommended when we rise early in the morning we should think about great personalities. So we rise in the morning and we think about Prabhupada. And why do we do that? We do that so that we can also be like them. Isn't it? We rise early in the morning and we meditate on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We meditate on Radha and Krishna, speaking of, you know, great personalities. Right? We meditate on Radha and Krishna's pastimes so that we can be with them. You know, when we worship Tulsi in the morning, we're basically praying that Tulsi, please let me enter into the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. You know, sometimes people say that Prabhupada didn't teach us the highest, you know, but when you think about it, just this worship of Tulsi is, that's, you know, you can't get any higher than praying to the eternal residents of Goloka for their association. I mean, you can't get any higher than that. So in order to keep ourselves fixed in that understanding of spiritual identification as opposed to material identification, we're recommended to strongly adhere and attach ourselves to these very, very basic practices of devotional, rising early, worshipping the spiritual master, worshipping the previous acharyas, chanting Hare Krishna, and absorbing ourselves in the spiritual, in absorbing ourselves in the internal potency. Then when we do that, when we're performing the other activities throughout our daily lives, then we can only remember Krishna. And it's not difficult then to remember Krishna and not be distracted by the mundane, if you like. Very important to do this. Study the Bhagavad Gita. Threadbare, Prabhupada says. We should understand this philosophy threadbare. Then the material energy, you know, loses its attraction. And we're able to see things clearly as they are. You know, instead of identifying with the motor car, we identify with the spirit soul, with the driver. Right? We're most of the time looking at the different bodies and thinking, oh, that's him, that's him, that's him, or that's her. She looks like this. But actually, we should, you know, Prabhupada said, that's like identifying the Rolls Royce with the man who's driving the car. Interesting. But actually, we should be looking at the soul. We should be seeing the spirit soul. We should be seeing the connection with Krishna. And we do that by this process. Gradually, we accumulate. By adherence to these devotional practices, we accumulate the ability to see everything from the spiritual perspective and see the temporality of the material world, see it for what it is. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Material existence. Well, it is. What's that?
The fanaticism. Yeah, the powers of being that they've got this rigid mindset. It seems like it's going to always go on like this.
Well, it is, but we don't have to be part of it, though.
Yeah.
The material, you know, the material world is a prison house. And even if we empty out the prison house, as explained, it'll fill back up again. But that doesn't mean because the prison house is here forever that we have to stay in it. That's why we have Krishna consciousness, why we have the mercy of the spiritual master. Yes, it will go on forever. And we can stay in it forever if we want to. Huh? We have that option. But the Association of the Devotees tells us this is not a good option. We know it's not a good option. Are you having fun here? We're not having fun here. We're suffering like anything. But, you know, this is the mentality of an ass. Oh, it looks like it's going to go on forever. Right?
That's really quite basic. But,
that's not. It's reality. It's reality.
The reality, like, as you're saying that it's all temporary. But, you know, so if we understand that actually it is temporary and we have that mindset, then we don't become, implicated in all this false ego and all this,
true. That was what I said.
You know,
That's what I said. But the fact remains, we still remain attached to, and that's why the Maya tricks us. Oh, it's going to go on forever. It's not going to stop. I can't get out of here. Maya's very tricky. She'll convince us. You can't do it. It's too hard. Right? It's too hard. And I'm such a basket case, I can't do it. Who hasn't felt like that? Yes, designed for devotees only. There's Avaranamika Shakti and the Prakpakshamika Shakti, which means the pulling down potency of Maya. So as soon as somebody makes a determination to get out of the material world, then Maya starts working him over. You can't do it. What makes you so special? You're just a regular mug like everybody else. But what makes it special, see, that's why the mercy of the spiritual master is so important, and why we have to then adhere, attach ourselves to the order of the spiritual master, because, you know, what is it? Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim. Even a dumb man can speak. A blind man, what is it? Could cross mountains? Layman can cross mountains. Yeah. So you know, the spiritual... And, you know, Prabhupada was asked about how, you know, we don't have any pious credit. So we don't have any qualification to come to Krishna. So how is it possible that we can, you know, make advancement? How can we make progress? And Prabhupada said, well, I've made your good fortune for you. And this is agyata sukriti. The devotees actually create the good fortune for others so that they can come to Krishna. And when we get the association of the devotees, then we're recommended to, you know, it's like being given a voucher. Here's your entrance into the spiritual world. So we then have to cash it in. Take advantage of it. So we're able to overcome the avaranamika, that covering potency that keeps most people in ignorance. And we're also then, by adhering strictly and sticking strictly to the instructions of the spiritual master, which ultimately are Krishna's instructions, the instructions of the previous acharyas, are ultimately Krishna's instructions in the long run. Sticking to those instructions creates our good fortune, creates the opportunity to release or get release from that Maya, Shakti. Because, you know, the Maya is also the spiritual or internal potency. So, you know, by following the instructions of the spiritual master, one then places oneself under the shelter of the spiritual potency. What is it? Mahatmanas tumam pata devim prakritim asritaha. So the Mahatmas, or the great... What distinguishes a mudha from a Mahatma is that ability to remain under the shelter of the divine, the Devi Shakti. Ultimately, you know, that's Radharani's domain, devotional service. And devotional service is learnt from the devotees. The only problem what happens is, you know, we're asked to do things and we say, oh, no, I can't do that. Don't want to do that. Too hard. I'm too fallen.
So the body sees emotional service everywhere. Not just
if he's lucky, yes. If he's taken shelter of the order of the spiritual master, yes. You know, devotees also see Maya. The example that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, we're in a body, right? Body's made up of senses, mind, intelligence, and we see things sometimes and we're attracted to it. Right? We're attracted to it. But, like the tortoise, we pull our senses in. Too dangerous. Not going there. Right? For the yogi, that's especially for the bhakti yogi. We're living in, you know, we're living in an environment where the communications machinery is aware of these principles, and so they are, you know, putting stuff in your face all of the time, basically just to bewilder us, so that they can get their dollars out of our pocket, our dollars out of their, into their pockets, out of ours. Right? By the process of meditation. You know, the advertising industry. It's called the advertising industry. Basically, they're trying to attract our attention. You know, there are people at the moment scratching their brains feverishly, right? Trying to work out how are we going to make money out of the internet? Because they've got people stuck there. Their mind and the eyes and even sound just absorbed in the computer screen, right? Based on this principle. Or television. There's another one. Billboards. So we see things and we think, ooh, yeah, I could engage that in Krishna service. But we have to pull ourselves in. So we see opportunities for devotional service, but we also have to see this is not devotional service. Right? A satsanga charge. We go, ooh, okay, I'll leave that alone. Problem is, you know, we get tricked. And we go, we think, ah, yeah, it's Krishna. We run after it and then we discover, uh-oh, it's Maya. Huh? And Lord Chaitanya actually warns about that. In, you know, taking initiation is having the seed of devotional service planted within the heart. But, you know, you don't just plant a seed and then walk away and forget it. You've got to water it. Shrava, what is it? The jal is hearing and chanting. The water is, for devotees, the watering of the plant is hearing and chanting. But there's also, you know, putting a fence around your garden and pulling out the weeds. Right? So pulling out the weeds is anatta nivritti. It's getting rid of the unwanted things. And sometimes it's described that these unwanted weeds are so tricky that they look exactly like or very close to the bhakti lata bij. But actually they're weeds. And they choke up the bhakti lata. So we think, yeah, I can do this in Krishna's service. And we discover it's choking up our devotional service. So it's not that we see, we do have, you know, Uttama Adhikari sees everybody engaged in devotional service better than himself. Everybody. But a Madhyama Adhikari, he doesn't. He sees differently. He sees he sees Krishna and he wants to love Krishna. He sees the devotees, wants to associate with the devotees. He encourages the innocent, but he also sees the demons and he avoids that association. So we have to be also, you know, that's why we have rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that. We have to be able to see the difference between them. So it's not that we see all devotional service everywhere. We also see Maya, and we say, you know, attractive, but got burnt by it last time. Right? Steer clear of. I think we should finish here. I'll get in trouble for going too long. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We also have another class at 10 o'clock till 12 with Narayani, so...